If you want to be like a Lionel Messi, if you want to be like a Skylar Wallace, if you want to be like a Lauren Hager, Lauren Chamberlain, if you want to be the best of the best, it is not up to your coach to do that. It's not up to your parents. They can help you, of course. Of course, that's what we're here for. That's what your coaches are here for, to give you the tools to get better. But it's your job to put in the work. And when you put in the work, when you put in the reps, that's when you can just trust your game and just play free. Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey, welcome back to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I'm so excited to give you this episode. One, because I have been thinking about how I wanted to portray this message, because a lot of us overthink. We've all been victim of it, especially when we're competing. And some of you are in the depths of some of your biggest competition of the spring, of the summer, wherever you're at, whenever you're listening to this. Our biggest competition's right in front of us, and a lot of us overthink and we lose trust in our bodies. And that's why I wanted to call this episode Trust Your Instincts, because if we fully prepare our bodies to do what we want them to do and we put in the reps, we'll be able to trust ourselves more. And in order to trust ourselves, we're going to have to create muscle memory, and muscle memory comes from reps, and not just doing a couple reps here and there. It's so many consistent reps, but over time, that's going to give you the confidence to be able to go on the field, trust your instincts, trust your body to do what it's meant to do, and the game will speak for itself. So I'm actually going to share a couple times where I didn't prepare well for certain things, and I expected myself to do really great, and I didn't. And then I'm going to share a couple ways where I had put in the reps, I had done everything that I needed to do to be able to just let my body play, and I played some of the loosest softball I've ever played in my life. Okay, let's start with the things that happened to me where I did not prepare, and things did not go well. Okay, so these are just a couple stories that I thought about. The first one is very embarrassing, okay? And I may have shared it before, but it is that bad that I'm about to share it again. But I went to college thinking that I was going to play a little bit of outfield. That's what I played in travel ball, and I loved the outfield. I was our starting center fielder leading up into college, but I got there, and all three positions in the outfield were taken. But because I was a versatile athlete, I'd played shortstop, I'd played pretty much every position except for catcher in the infield, I was versatile. So second base, that position was up for grabs. And I said, you know what? I want to go for it. So I trained in the outfield and the infield. And then over time, I just became the starting second baseman, which meant all of my training in the outfield kind of just stopped. And as sad as that sounds, I thoroughly enjoyed the infield. It's not like I hated playing second. But I had to do what I had to do to help my team win. But after 4 years playing at Purdue, I had not touched the outfield. And let's fast forward to professional softball. The outfield, there were positions open there. There were not positions open in the infield at the time. I did play a little first base, but again, I was a versatile athlete. I wanted to go play positions that were open, and outfield was it. Now, I was thrown into right field, because I told my coach I could play outfield. I played it 4 years ago. It's like riding a bike, right? No. If you've played 4 years straight of just infield and you have not seen a ball being hit from the outfield, it is not the same. It is not the same. And silly me thought you could just throw me in there and I'd be able to ride my bicycle and rock it out there. Now, there were some cool plays that I made out there, no lie, but this particular play was really embarrassing. So Kelly Crutchman is up to bat. We're playing against the Pride, arguably probably the best team, I think, that season. And Kelly Crutchman's a lefty, and there's a runner at third, less than two outs, and she pulls something really, really hard to right field. Now, this ball was very deep. Like, if I were to make the catch, hindsight's 20/20, if I were to make the catch, I'm not going to be able to get the out at home, and it's a pretty tight game. So if it's foul, I should not be making this catch. And outfielders that have trained for this over and over and over, their instincts would tell them they know what's foul, they know what's not. Me, I could not tell whether this ball was going to be foul or fair. And I looked like a chicken with her head cut off. Now, maybe I didn't actually look like that, but I felt like a chicken with her head cut off playing right field in this position and in this scenario. And this was the most embarrassing thing ever. Well, I track it. I'm at the wall. I'm worried about the wall. I'm worried about the fact that also right field was you run uphill as you're running backwards, and then you have to go downhill. Yeah, not the best fields we were playing on in the NPF back then. They've come a long way. Don't worry, professional softball is not played on fields like this anymore. But I'm going for the ball, and I'm like, oh my God, I think I should catch it. And then I kind of like try to go catch it, and I miss it. Okay, completely miss. I don't even touch the ball, you guys. This is the most embarrassing thing I think I ever did in the outfield. And people probably remember this because it was so bad. But the ball landed foul. So the ball landed foul and I'm like, okay. And then I pick up the ball and I chuck it in and I'm just kind of looking at myself like, what the heck did you just do? And as it landed foul, I'm like, well, I guess could have been worse, right? Like it went foul, which meant the run did not score. But now I'm sitting here like, that was embarrassing. Now, I don't remember what ended up happening after that. I think she actually hit a single through first and second. So I ended up getting the ball and the runner scored anyway. But that was a super embarrassing play for someone who used to pride herself on outfield. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up in this episode is because my instincts, they weren't firing, they weren't working because I had not put in the work in the outfield. I had not gone through that scenario recently. I know in the past, if I were in high school, I would know exactly what to do on that play because I would have trained to do that over and over and over. But I needed to kind of get myself in check and realize that this ain't just a walk in the park anymore. This is something that you have to build and create. So those of you who maybe are, you know, not putting in the reps that you should be, not going through all these different scenarios in any position that you're playing, if something crazy comes up and you don't know what to do, it's because you haven't trained for it. So learn from me. Make sure that you are going over every scenario. And this also is why the older you get, the smarter you get, because you've gone through plays like this over and over. You've made that rookie, quote unquote, mistake that I made in the outfield, but you made that like way long time ago and you learned from it. That is the point of this. I want you to be able to go through every scenario. And if you get a brand new scenario, let's say this weekend, and you don't know what to do and it kind of looks silly, just make sure you don't do it again. Make sure in practice you're actually going through that scenario 10, 20, 30 more times so that it's just stuck in your head and you know what to do next time. That is the point of training. That is the point of failure. We have to be able to fail to understand what we would do in a scenario. I guarantee you, if I were to be thrown into right field again and the scenario was exactly what it was, I would know a lot better what to do in that scenario. And if you're throwing me in right field, you better believe I'm going to be training for hours and hours and hours prior to be put in that position to make sure I knew what to do. Okay. So if you are lacking any sort of just comfort in your position, get a bunch of reps in and I guarantee you, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself in that position. And I strongly recommend if you have gone over 4 years or 4 years or even 2 years, even a full year, just not in a position, and you know you might be in that position at some point, please go put in some reps, because I was out there pretty cold, not knowing what to do. And that was probably the worst play. And I will say there were a couple others where I was just a little embarrassed by how I reacted to it. But I don't want you to be embarrassed out there. I want you to just play and react and trust your instincts. So go get in your reps in your position. That over time is going to lead to more confidence. Okay, this next one is kind of funny. So when I started picking up golf, a little bit more seriously, I should say, this was a few years ago. My husband played college golf at Purdue, Boiler Up, and he spent his whole life, but since he was like 7 years old playing golf. And he's obviously very good at it because he's trained a ton. Golf is one of those sports where you can play it your whole life, which is why I've been picking it up a lot more. A lot of my old softball teammates have also been picking up golf post-career. It's a new challenge for us, and it's very, very hard. But I remember when I played like one of my first, like it wasn't a full round, it wasn't 18 holes, but my first 9 holes, and I was with my husband. And obviously, I'm sitting there comparing myself to him. Why would I do that? First of all, because he just spent most of his life playing the sport. I kind of just picked it up, and it took me forever to learn how to hit it straight. And every once in a while, it goes straight. Every once in a while, it shanks right. For me, and I golf righty, if that makes sense to anybody, which is weird, even though I hit left-handed. Anyway, I'm just learning this new sport. I'm playing a half a round of golf, and I'm expecting myself to just do well. Why would I do that? I have not put in nearly as many reps as I should have to be able to feel confident over the ball. And yes, I know you tee up a ball and the ball's not moving and softball should be harder, whatever. No. It's a totally different sport. It is one of those where you hit a ball, you have to go chase it, first of all. And if it was an ugly swing or the ball didn't really go anywhere, it's kind of embarrassing to go line up and try to hit it again. It is a mental struggle, which is why I had my husband on the podcast in episodes 70 and 71, talking about how hard golf is and how we can learn from golfers from a mentality standpoint. It is just so hard. So I'm playing in this round and I'm doing so bad. Like every once in a while, I'll have a really good shot and my husband will be like, nice, like way to go. And I'll be like rolling my eyes because I'm one of those where if I have one good shot, I know my next shot's going to suck. And it's not a good mentality to have. But I was just beating myself up out there and I wasn't having any fun. Like even when I had a good shot, I was not having fun. And my husband just looks at me and he goes, Ashley, you are not good enough to get upset right now. And I heard those words and I was so mad. I'm like, what do you mean? And then I thought about it and I'm like, dang it. He's totally right. Like I have not put in the work on this sport. Why do I expect myself to be good? And what's funny is like there's so many people, even in my husband's shoes, and he's been playing competitive golf since he was 7. And he still plays in tournaments. And yes, he gets pretty frustrated out there, but you can't really see it. He's one of those that has really good demeanor. If he gets upset and you can see it, it must have been something really bad because he holds his own. It's one of the things that I admire about him. He just goes about his game and doesn't show much emotion. And I was showing a lot of emotion. And so hearing that from him really ticked me off. But then slowly, I started thinking to myself, dang it, he's totally right. Like, what am I doing? Why am I expecting myself to be good, right? I just started this. And yes, the rest of the round kind of stunk. But, you know, since then, I've been thinking about it. Like, when I hit a bad shot when I'm out playing, it's kind of inevitable. You know, like, I have not put in the thousands and thousands of hours that most have in this game. So I don't deserve to be frustrated. So those of you who maybe are getting frustrated with something and are kind of looking, stepping back and looking and saying, yeah, I really haven't worked on that a ton, that's all you need to know. So if you're struggling or you're a coach and you know some of your athletes are struggling with a certain skill, think about it in a way of, have I put in the reps here? You can be like me and have not put in the reps on, you know, a specific pitch. If you are pitching, if you are catching, like, Maybe you're really good at framing, but not so great at blocking because you don't put as much effort into it. If you're getting frustrated about certain skills that you're not that good at or that you've struggled with, then look at yourself in the mirror. If you have not put in the reps, then go put in the reps on that thing and you will automatically start feeling more confident with it because you're doing the work on it. So this is where I've shared this hundreds of times, it feels like, on the podcast, but my dad did such a good job with me and my sisters. If we had a bad game or we had something, one moment where it's like, wow, that specific thing was not great, we spent, you know, at least 10, 20, sometimes 30 minutes after a game working on that specific skill over and over and over and over and over. It's kind of like beating a dead horse. But I have never regretted post-training in that moment working on it, because then I get to go to bed kind of feeling a little bit better. And then I feel automatically better with it the next time I get that specific ball on defense or that specific pitch hitting. So go put in the reps. Don't be like me and get frustrated when you haven't put in the work, okay? All right. Now we're going to go into these instincts that took over in my game when I least expected it, okay? So in college, you're training 6, sometimes 7 days a week, depending on which part of season you're in. And you're just playing a lot of softball. You're getting a ton of reps. Like, you're breaking bats like crazy because you're getting in hundreds and hundreds of reps a day. Okay. So you're automatically putting in a ton of work because that's just in the curriculum of training. Now, I need to preface this because we're training in college almost like it's a job, right? Because it kind of is, right? We're getting a scholarship. Some of us are getting a scholarship. We're competing for a position. We're at the highest level. Okay, other than professional softball, college softball is some of the biggest stages you will be on. So these coaches take practice seriously. So when we put in all of these reps, our bodies, if we trust them, will be able to do what we want them to do. Okay, so here's a prime example of when that happened for me. So we were playing at Tennessee in a preseason tournament. And typically, Tennessee is warmer than us in northern Indiana, in West Lafayette. So it's kind of like actually the middle of Indiana. But typically, Tennessee should be a lot warmer because it's 7 hours south of us, okay? And it was not that day or that whole weekend. We were wearing our parkas because we were freezing. I'm pretty sure temperatures were right at where you can play, but like if it was one degree cooler, we couldn't have. Like, it was that cold. And I have not been diagnosed with Raynaud's, which is like that disease where your hands get so cold that you can't feel them and they turn white. And I played first base at the time and my hands were, I couldn't feel them. I could not feel them. And I was playing in a softball game. Okay. So like, How does that work? I don't know. I will tell you that I played pretty decent. I don't think I stunk at all. But I do specifically remember this one play. And I was playing first. And I was in a little bit because I think it was a lefty up to bat. And there was a runner at first. And I got the ball at first. Now, when that happens and there's less than two outs, like, I'm going to turn two. Okay. And I remember specifically turning to throw to two, realizing I have no grip. Like, I can't feel the ball in my hand at all, but I'm just going to chuck it to two and see what happens. Just like, trust my body, do the thing. It was a perfect throw to my shortstop and we got a double play. And nobody on the field knew that I could not feel my hand, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to throw it to two. And because my mind knew what to do, that muscle memory of me having turned two thousands of times in practice allowed that ball to be a perfect throw to then be thrown to first and getting a double play. So that is the ultimate key of, if you trust your instincts, your body will kind of just do what you've trained it to do, right? But again, you have to have put in the reps to believe in your body to do the thing. So I can't believe I made that play. I do remember our hands being, everybody's hands were cold, and hitting the ball on the wrong part of the bat definitely hurt. But I just wanted to share that story because it was so cold and I don't know how the ball got to second base, but my body knew what to do, even though my hands Couldn't really feel anything. My nerves, I guess, still worked. So trust your instincts. Okay, this second and last story that I wanted to share is one of my favorites because when you're sick, you're not expected to do well. Okay. We were playing, and I might have shared this before, but it's one of my favorites to kind of share. But we were playing in Florida, and it's already real feels over 100. And I think the first day we got to Florida, I felt like I had a really bad fever. Okay. I wasn't, you know, throwing up or anything. I just had a really high fever. It was a fever of 101, maybe 102, somewhere in there. And every single night, this might be TMI, but I feel like it's relevant. Every single night, I sweat through my clothes. Like, my trainer had to like wash my clothes because I only bring clothes to like sleep and play. And I like ran out of clothes. I was sweating through everything. So I probably, I don't know, shouldn't have been playing, but other than just sweating through everything, feeling hot, I wanted to compete. All right. And I was one of our best bats in the lineup, and I want to be able to be on the field with my team and go win ball games. Like, it's one of our first tournaments of the year. Like, get me out there. I just want to play. Okay. So my coaches let me play, and it made me think of, I'll get back to this in a second, but I remember being out there and feeling so free because my distraction, quote unquote, was just the fact that I like didn't feel great. Okay. You know, when you have a cold and, you know, you have shivers 1 minute and then you feel like super hot the next, like that was me. It was like hot and cold and I just was not feeling myself. But on the field, I wasn't distracted by anything that typically you can get distracted by, like an umpire with a bad call or, you know, a specific pitcher. Maybe she's throwing specific pitches. Like, I was just there and balling out. Like, that's the only thing that I remember is just being on the field and just playing and not overthinking, not focusing on things that I shouldn't be focusing on. It was just me playing. And this was the most free weekend, like full weekend that I think I ever played. And I was trying to think of like why that is. And I remember when I watched The Last Dance, which I quote all the time, but it's that documentary with the Bulls and Michael Jordan. And they talked about his flu game, which ended up being food poisoning from, you know, someone from the other team trying to beat them in the finals, whatever. So he was like way more sick than I was. Okay. I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan, but there is somewhat of an overlap here where when you're sick, but you have your eyes on the prize, like nothing can stop you. Like, I remember playing and I hit multiple home runs that weekend. I stole so many bases. I played great defense. Like, I just played great. And I wasn't playing, you know, at my 100% energy wise, but I didn't have the energy to overthink. I put all of my energy into the ball and just playing, right? And I think there's something that we can learn from this is like, if you have trained your whole life to do something, and even though you're sick or even though you're at like less than 100%, whatever it is, you're tired, it's that time of the month, you're going through, maybe you have like your hamstrings been cramping, whatever. Like, if you can just trust your body to just give whatever you have, like maybe it's 50%, maybe it's, if you have 100%, great, go all out. Awesome. But like me that weekend, I probably only had maybe like 60, 70%, but I gave everything that I had. And because I was sick, I was able to not like focus on the things that typically people get distracted by. It was just me and the ball. And it was the most free weekend that I think I've ever played and one of the best weekends I've ever played. And I attest that to the fact that I've trained my body to do something over and over and over and over until my face is blue. And now I'm sick, but my body remembers what to do. And I just let it do it. And I didn't over try. I didn't grip tight. Like, it was just play free. And you don't have to be sick to have this feeling, but maybe you've been sick and you kind of have something, a similar story to that. There's something to it. The fact that you put in the reps and you just let your body do what it's meant to do. I think that's one of the best ways we can approach competition. So again, you don't have to be sick to feel this. If you can just trust that you have put in the work in every aspect of your game, pitcher, catcher, defender, hitter. Okay. If you've put in the work in all areas and you just go up there and you say, you know what? I'm just going to trust my stuff. I'm going to trust in my preparation and trust that my preparation is good enough. And sometimes that's going to work and you're just going to be able to play free and just have fun. Sometimes you're going to go all out, trust your instincts, and you're going to fall short. But hey, that's where we go back to before. Like, that's what failure, it just taught us something. Maybe that's another element where we should put more preparation into this specific part of our game. There's always a place where you can put in work. There are Olympians right now, or players training for the Olympics that are going to be in LA in a little bit. They all have places in their game where they can put in work. If they're putting in the work, we need to be putting in the work too. Okay. I don't care if you're a player, a coach, a parent, we all got places in our game, quote unquote, that we can be putting work into. And the more we do that, the more we keep elevating our skills, the more we keep putting reps into those skills, the easier it will be to play when we just trust our stuff. Okay. And the better we will perform when we can just trust our stuff. Lionel Messi, I don't know if I said his name right, but you know, like one of the best soccer players to ever play the game. It was quoted once, or I saw it in a video, I can't remember. It was talking about how he just makes everything look so easy, flawless, effortless when he's out there. And he's an older player. He's been playing for many, 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 many years. So he has the experience. But he has trained so hard to make it everything look easy. And that is like any professional, right? But what's specific about this scenario is that they were talking about his brain and how the amount of reps that he's put in, the amount of scenarios that he's worked on, the amount of just experience that he's been able to have, his brain has almost like slowed down in a way to where he can see the game. It's like a softball being thrown at you and it looks like a beach ball, right? But like he's able to play the game where like the game is slow in his brain. Like he can do anything. Like it's not like too fast. You know, when the game just moves too fast and we make kind of mental mistakes, physical mistakes that like we weren't prepared for because the game was moving fast. Lionel Messi's game, it's like the game is moving so slow and his brain is like, it just knows how to just absorb it and slow everything down. And that's how he's able to just like look so free out there. So when we're training, when we're practicing, putting in those reps so we can trust our instincts, like move at such a high pace, such a fast speed that when the game is happening, you can almost like look effortless out there. Like you're making that double play look easy. You're making that backhand look like something you've trained a million times. Like that comes with repetition. That comes with, you know, speeding up the game in your training. And maybe one day you'll be a Lionel Messi out there. I don't know. Like that's up to you. Okay. It's not up to your coaches, not up to your parents to get in the reps. It is up to you, my friends. If you want to be like a Lionel Messi, if you want to be like a Skylar Wallace, if you want to be like a Lauren Hager, Lauren Chamberlain, shoot, I can just whip out names for days. We have so many greats. We have Jenny Finch, Natasha Watley, Caitlin Lowe. Like if you want to be the best of the best, it is not up to your coach to do that. It's not up to your parents. They can help you, of course. Of course. That's what we're here for. That's what your coaches are here for, to give you the tools to get better, right? But it's your job to put in the work. And when you put in the work, when you put in the reps, that's when you can just trust your game and just play free. That's what we all want. Coaches, we want our players to look free out there. Players, we want to be able to feel free. They call it flow state. We want to play in a flow state. And this is what it's going to take. If you enjoyed this and you feel like a teammate needs to hear this message. Coaches, if you feel like your players need to hear this message, please share it with them, not just because it helps this podcast grow, but because you want to help this game grow. You want to help players be able to play free out there and If you enjoy this, please, please share with a friend. If you also enjoyed it, please make sure you're subscribed to the podcast if you're not already. And I just want to thank you for being here for another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. As always, don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. And I'll see you next week.